Followers by Megan Angelo. Performed by Jamie Mattler. What? You seek something? You seek to multiply yourself tenfold, a hundredfold? You seek followers? Seek zeros. Friedrich Nietzsche. I know how influential I am over my fans and followers. I feel like everything I do, my hair color, my makeup, I always start these huge trends, and I don't even realize what I'm capable of. Kylie Jenner. Prologue. Marlowe. New York, New York, 2051. So she still believed in mail, this woman, whoever she was. The first thing Marlowe saw when she walked into the building was a grid of metal boxes, each with its own window and cobwebbed keyhole. Most of the boxes had only blank spaces where the names had once been, but the one for 6D still had a label, and the name on it was the same one Marlowe had written down in eyeliner at the archive. She could see, behind the small square of glass, the white slant of a waiting envelope. Marlowe slid a bobby pin out of her hair, ignoring the wave that sprang free and clung to the sweat on her neck. Ellis had taught her how to pick a lock on their third date. "Why do you know how to do this?" she'd asked, watching him bend the pin. Though she didn't know him well yet, she was sure he had never needed to steal. They had grown up the same way.
"I like exploiting the flaws in things," Ellis had answered.
And Marlowe, 22 and in a hopeful phase, had laughed and let the omen sail high over her head. Now she jiggled the crimpled bit of metal in the keyhole, listening for the C's as he had taught her. Finally, the little door popped open and the envelope jutted toward her. She slid it into her back pocket, shut the box, and walked toward the elevator. The stone superintendent stared at her as she waited. His desk was tall, pointedly designed for someone to stand behind, but the man sat, his bloodshot eyes at the lip of the walnut veneer. He must have seen her pick the lock, but he didn't say a thing. On the sixth floor, the doors were painted jade, the color the carpet looked like it had been before it turned trampled brown. Marlowe found the door with the oily brass D and knocked. No answer. She tried the knob. It turned, and then she was inside, her feet falling on a gaudy doormat, black rubber with hot pink stripes. Marlowe winced. Now that she was seeing colors clearly again, she could not get over how many of them she disliked. She saw, in a flash of memory, the roses stuffed into her mother's bathroom just before she ran. That had done it for pink, she supposed. She'd be avoiding it the rest of her life. No one was home. The apartment smelled like the air had been sitting undisturbed. To Marlowe's left, as the front door swung shut behind her, was a narrow kitchen wrapped in cheap white cabinets. Three stools sat beneath the gray counter that divided the kitchen from the rest of the long, charmless room. The place dead-ended 20 feet or so out, in a naked window overlooking 8th Avenue. The walls were dull handyman white, the color of a place between people. The couch was the thing that made her feel like something was off. It was plump and lived-in looking, the color of melted chocolate. But on the cushion closest to the window, a precise rectangle of fabric had been bleached beige by the sun. It was not the kind of thing, Marlowe thought, with a tweak in her stomach, that anyone just let happen. Staring at it, she felt the way she would if she was sensing an intruder, though this was the opposite. An absence, just as sinister. She wasn't sure how long she lay shaking on the couch, trying to recover from the chase. After a minute, after an hour, she sat up and looked at the mail she'd
Sample complete. Ready to continue?